Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
So we are continuing on this path of the idea of God is right here, right now. And all of these talks have been about this dynamic of making this shift from ego mind to God mind, from the illusion that we are only human to understanding that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Pam's sister and brother-in-law were with us for another day this past week, and you know, they're Jehovah Witness, and I always enjoy talking with them. And we were talking about this idea of, you know, the difficulty of making that shift. And he gave the example of his brother who said that he found it was like if you're left-handed and you found out that you really needed to be right-handed, what you would have to go through to change all the synapses in your brain to realize that you no longer are left-handed, but you are now right-handed. And you would always be, it would take you a long time because you would keep reaching for that left hand, and then your mom would say, no, I'm now right-handed. You get what I'm saying? And so it's sort of like a dynamic like that of making that switch in consciousness from one mindset to another. In this particular talk, I'm going to be, you know, the idea that God is right here, right now, I am going to be using a lot of Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. And he says in that book, if the constructs of the human mind remain unchanged, we will always end up recreating fundamentally the same world, the same evils, and the same dysfunction, right? So that's what we're talking about. Moving from this left hand to the right hand is we're trying to change the constructs in our mind from believing the illusion of the ego to awakening to the reality of the Christ. Is that you with me? Okay. So Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer how to pray for change. He taught us how to decree the formation of a new heaven and a new earth. It's recorded in Matthew 6:9 that Jesus said, pray in this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we already understand or learn that heaven is not a geographic location, but refers to the inner realm or spiritual consciousness. Heaven is a state of mind in harmony with God mind. Let me say that again. So heaven is a state of mind in harmony with God mind. Heaven is a place that we go to when we learn how to be still and know. Earth represents the outer realm or outer manifestation, reflecting thoughts held individually and collectively. So we learned last week that the objective exists because the subjective is sustaining it. Meaning, what is happening in my life? Is happening in my life because I'm sustaining it. Even if we said, no, I would never want that. And that's the hard part about the idea of metaphysics. You get it? All right. And remember, again, we're not talking just spiritual here. We're talking about quantum reality. Quantum physics is saying that this exists because somehow I'm supporting it. And that's a really hard dynamic, isn't it? Okay. So the line, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, calls for the one praying to become open and receptive to allowing a transformation of the psychological constructs in his or her consciousness from ego, earth, to spirit, heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? On earth as it is in heaven. So we have to change the constructs in our mind to always be moving from the guidance of spirit, heaven, before we do anything on earth in this experience. Is that? Okay, so, and according to the principle of the law of mind action, the transformation of our mind from ego to spirit would result in a new earth, meaning a new life experience here on earth. So if I want something new to happen in my life, it has to happen where first? Right. I was getting ready to say here, but Joe said here, and that's true. It's got to happen in your spirit, okay? Now, again, Eckhart Tolle says, collective human consciousness and life on our planet are intrinsically connected. A new heaven is the emergence of a transformed state of human consciousness, and a new earth is a reflection of the new consciousness in the physical realm. So I see some head shaking. So three of you got that, right? Okay. All right. So since human life and human consciousness are intrinsically one with the life of the planet, as the old consciousness dissolves, there are bound to be synchronistic, geographic, and climactic natural upheavals in many parts of the planet, and some of them are already happening. Yeah. All right? So that means what we're actually seeing happening in Mother Earth Gaia is a reflection of the consciousness that exists on her planet. All right? So if we want something new to happen, we have to collectively, as a consciousness, make that happen. And we find script. Now, we find scripture. Now, this is intriguing for me in this talk. It's scripture in both Old and New Testament that refers to a new order replacing an old order. And, you know, we all know that Jesus said you cannot put what? New wine into old wineskins. So here first in the Old Testament, Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I'm about to create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. So this is here. This is God saying, I'm creating a new consciousness, a new heaven. And when I do that, you're not going to remember the old. All right? So the fact that it's being said, you might go, well, I don't really see that. But the fact that it's been said means it is happening. All right? We today are more highly evolved than 100 years ago. And we're much more highly evolved than the time of Jesus. That's, again, why he said, my deeds are for today, but my words are forever. Because a time will come when you will understand what I'm teaching. Now, let's match that, the Isaiah 65:17, with the New Testament, Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer be. Mourning and crying and pain will no longer be. For the first things have passed away. And the first things are what we thought were true. You with me? All right? So, and I think you already understand in the first sentence in both scriptures that the reference to a new heaven and a new earth are referring to a new state of consciousness and the manifestation of the new state of consciousness in your life experiences. So as my consciousness changes, my life changes. As the subjective changes, the objective changes. Again, remember, we read that from a physicist last week. Okay? So if I want the objective to change, the first must be a change subjectively. And we all have undergone several stages of transformation from childhood to now. So we know what this is about. You know, if those of us who have kids, you know, or grandkids or whatever, we look at them and go, what are they thinking? Right? Well, it was a time when our parents looked it up and said, what are you thinking? Okay? But that has passed away. And it's passed away to never come back again. You follow me? So this what we're reading in Scripture is not new to us. It sounds strange because of the way it's being put to us, but we have been experiencing that all of our lives. And it says in Scripture from Revelation, in the process of being transformed the first heaven, meaning our first level of consciousness, and the first earth, meaning the experiences we created from that first level of consciousness, have passed away. Okay? And we each can probably remember going through several stages of development and transformation in our lives, creating new constructs in our minds, which resulted in new experiences in our lives. I was talking with my chiropractor the other day, and I was telling him how I was changing my workout and the times I go to the gym. And he says, do you remember the days when we used to go to the gym 6 days a week, twice a day? Because back then, more was better. That was the construct. But those of us who did that now are getting new hips and new shoulders and new knees because we wore ourselves out, right? You get it? But that was a construct at the time. I remember I would run every single day. I didn't care what the weather was. I ran in hurricanes. I ran in snowstorms because the thing was to not miss a day. But that was a what? A construct of the time. Does that make sense? Okay? And now the construct is less is better. All right? So that, I'm just, you know, I want you to help you understand what we're reading in Scripture is what we have been experiencing. Okay? So, you know, we always remember stages in our development. Also, or we do remember stages in our development where we got stuck, you know, unable to break free. Who knows what I'm talking about? You feel stuck in something, okay? And as I said several times before, the ego cannot take itself out of the ego. The ego can only take you so far before it's time for you to turn to spirit, okay? But, you know, if in our quest for understanding we allow ourselves to become stuck in certain beliefs and emotions or psychological hang-ups, those things become prisons for us. And I have to admit, I mean, even for myself, because I always look at myself when I'm writing these talks, there are certain things that I find myself stuck in that I need to move out of, all right? And if you're not willing to move out of them, you'll always be the same. You'll always keep creating the same results over and over again, okay? So the process here is, how do I get myself to understand that I'm no longer left-handed, I'm trying now to be right-handed, all right? And additionally, in Scripture from Revelation, it says, and the sea was no more. Now, there are other references about the sea in the Bible, but in this particular verse, the phrase, and the sea was no more, means the end of the universal perception-based thought process of the human race, which means the end of the thoughts based purely on the perceptions of our senses. And the sea was no more. Because right now, all of our perception is based on our senses. Our senses tells us it's hot, our senses tells us cold, our senses tells us we're hungry, senses tell us you're good looking, you're not good looking, you know what I'm saying? We can go on and on and on about all of our life right now is designed around our senses. There was a movie Pam and I were watching where a little girl was in Russia was having these horrible, she's about 6 years old, having these horrible nightmares. And she was in the nightmares, she was always freezing. And her father took her out, and we thought this was horrible at first, but he took her out to the lake and dug a hole in the ice and put her down in the water. And the idea was for her to raise her mind to the point where she no longer was cold. And she did it. She got to that point, and now when that happened, she no longer had those nightmares. She had mastered this thing about herself. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, it's a horrible thing to think about. But that was the dynamic. The father said, you need to master these things that are frightening you. All right? And it's the same thing with us. How many people, I don't know, when I was a kid, I used to dream about the monster chasing me until one day I turned around to the monster and said, what do you want? And when I confronted it, it went away. And I never had that dream again. So it's sort of that, you know, that idea. But our senses have us trapped in a certain dimensional experience. Okay? So when you're able to transcend the dualistic perception of your senses, which categorizes your experiences as being either good or bad, you become open to spiritual guidance. So what that says is, when I can get away from saying, this is good, or this is bad, when I can get away from that dualistic thought process, then I become open to spirit. Because I'm not judging or categorizing. I'm no longer looking at this and judging it as being a good thing or a bad thing. It just is. And when I can see it as just being, just is without affecting me in one way or the other, then I can listen for Spirit to guide me. But if I'm not in that space, Spirit will guide me, and I'll say to Spirit, oh, that's good, or that's not good. Did you just hear what I said? All right? So the concept is, how do I get to that place? And here's a clue. You are not open to Spirit when you're busy judging and categorizing. So as soon as you feel yourself judging, you can say to yourself, I'm not open to Spirit. Okay? So to continue interpreting these scriptures in both verses in the Old and the New Testament, there's a reference to the reestablishment of Jerusalem. Now, metaphysically, Jerusalem means dwelling place of peace, possession of peace, foundation of peace, vision of peace, abode of peace. So when we're able to transcend the perception of our senses, Jerusalem can be established in our consciousness. When we're able to be still and remain open to spiritual interpretation and guidance, Jerusalem, a dwelling place of peace, is established within us. Can you imagine? When you're in a place where somebody says, oh, that was bad, oh, that was good, and you go, I don't really know. It just is. And when you're in that space, Jerusalem can be established in your consciousness, which is a place of what? Peace. Okay? So Jerusalem cannot be established if you remain stuck in the old paradigm of judging and categorizing. That for us is, I know how hard that is. Are you with me? All right, to just be watching the news and just shrugging your shoulder and turning to Looney Tunes instead. You know what I mean? Just like, okay. So in the way to Jerusalem, the place of the consciousness of peace is through the process of practicing living by the faculties of the Christ. Now we know the faculties of the Christ as being the, say it. I heard the 12 powers. Okay? So, for example, the faculties of Christ's mind are faith, love, and wisdom. Strength, which is courage. The power to live and speak your truth. Imagination and understanding. The will to choose God. Divine order. Expressing divine zeal by connecting with Spirit. The renunciation or elimination of anything within you that is not of love and life. Okay? So it's by connecting with, and you know, I said, well, I can't remember all 12. You don't need to remember all 12. Jesus only, he kept with him most of the time Peter, John, and James, faith, love, and wisdom. All right? So yes, he had all of them with him, but those are the three that he needed to work with. So you embrace those things that you need to work with according to what you're going through. And in the Isaiah scripture, we read that the former things, the first things, will be no longer. It is interesting to note that even though we have become adults in many ways, we have not. Is that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, we haven't successfully put away childish things. You know, and the idea of, it's a transactional analysis, parent, adult, child. Okay, I teach this in my salesmanship class. That, you know, we all think we're adults or parents, but there's many times that we slip into that child mode, all right? I think I told you, so a salesman will do that to you. You know, here, you're parent, adult, and child. So you're talking adult to adult about this new 4K, 75-inch TV, blah, 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 and you can see you're all intrigued, and then he switches to his parent and says to your child, I don't know if we have any more left. And he goes, let me go check. You know how do you do that? Let me go check. And your child is going, oh, God, please let him have another one in stock. That's exactly what's happening. All right? So the thing is, we function from our child a lot. We get angry. We get upset. We get jealous. Am I right? Okay. So, as you know, Paul said, we have not put those things away. We have all heard that there are psychological, emotional constructs from our childhood still dictating our thoughts, words, and behaviors. Am I right? Those who, you know, all right, okay? And something that happened way back when is still impacting our lives today. Thoughts and behaviors we may, as Paul said, thought we put away, are still affecting our lives. Okay? So the scripture in Isaiah 65, 17 is telling us that when the new heaven, the new consciousness, and the new earth, the manifestation of the new consciousness, are established, the things we struggle with will truly be gone. True spirituality is a mind rich in its connection to God mind, but poor in its attachment to material things and material experiences. Did everybody hear that? Okay. So this is what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 5:3 when he taught, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So this greatly misunderstood verse is referring to our own spirit or will to possess or hold on to by attaching ourselves to the things and experiences of the material life. We want to hold on to these things. Why? Because we define ourselves by them. It is the identification and the intertwining of our I with the things of the material world that the scripture in Isaiah and Revelation are saying will be no more when the new heaven and the new earth are established. So when we move into this continent, Jesus owned nothing. Right? He owned nothing. He was attached to nothing. But yet he had the best of everything. All right? Because he, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all those things you need will be added unto you." And again, that's switching from the left hand to the right hand. That is so challenging for us to embrace. Am I right? Okay? So who right now is asking yourself, you know, what does all really mean to me? Well, what it all comes down to is an understanding of the perceptions you have about yourself and the impact those perceptions are having on your life and your relationship with others. Now, listen to what, again, Eckhart Tolle in his book, A New Earth, says about the word I. "The word I embodies the greatest error and the greatest truth, depending on how you use it. In conventional usage, it is not only one of the most frequently used words in the English language, along with related words like me, mine, and myself, but it also is one of the most misleading. In normal, everyday usage, I embodies the primordial era, meaning being or happening first in sequence of time, a misperception of who you are, giving you an illusionary sense of identity. This is the ego. This illusionary sense of self is what Albert Einstein called an optical illusion of consciousness. This illusionary self then becomes the basis for all further interpretation and also misinterpretation of reality and thought. Your reality becomes a reflection of your original illusion," which made me think that the original illusion is original sin. That I am not God. Is everybody with me? All right? Okay? So this, that's what he's saying then. So every time we say I, now Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Remember I said, I is God and the Father is God. Jesus never mentioned the ego perception of Jesus himself. He only saw God. And so that's the idea. So in our quest for a new heaven, a new consciousness, and a new earth, a new life experience, statements like "I am poor" are as much an illusion as "I am wealthy." Who caught that? All right? Because both statements are typically interpreting the condition of the I in accordance with your perception about your material reality. And Eckhart Tolle is saying that the good news is if you can recognize illusion as illusion, it disappears. The recognition of illusion brings about its own end. The survival of your illusion depends on your mistaking it for your reality. And seeing who you are not, the reality of who you are begins to emerge. That's powerful. I meant to tell you, this was going to be deep this morning in case you thought, you know. All right. So just stay with me a little longer. So now let me stress that we're not talking about giving up any of our wealth or possessions that we have. What we're talking about is separating our I from the material world we live in. And this means not only are you not your possessions or position, but you are also not the appearance of sickness or emotional distress or lack of employment or aging or whatever it is that's challenging your peace by trying to reduce you to its level. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? So none of these things that are happening in your life is what you are, whether it's great or whether it's not great. It's just a thing that is happening, right? Again, it's challenging to grasp, but once you've heard the truth, you cannot unhear it. And it's going to mess with your mind, right? And try to help you to see things a little bit differently. So Eckhart Tolle says, as a child grows up, it attaches the I it has learned about itself to other thoughts about itself. The child becomes identified with a gender, possessions, a nationality, a race, a religion, the roles that takes on such a profession, or husband or wife or father or mother and so on. Then comes accumulated knowledge or opinions, likes and dislikes, and also things that happened to me in the past, the memory of those things that further identify who I think I am. All right? And then we go about telling everybody this story as if it is really me. But it's all the illusion that I have come to believe is me. Am I making sense? Okay. And if you cannot, now, this is for those who are going to April's class. I took this off of a poster she's got in there. If you cannot hear the sound of the genuine in you, you will all of your life spend your days on the ends of strings that somebody else is pulling. That's deep, all right? And Eckhart says further, most of the time when you speak, it is not you formulating new thoughts and new words. Rather, you are merely repeating some aspect of the mental construct that has become your I, the construct by which you now identify yourself. So when we look in the mirror now, we got to say, that's not really me. Most of us, as we get old, we look in the mirror and go, oh, that can't be me. That ain't me I remember, right? So this is a great challenge. That being getting past the constructs of your I to the truth that lies within, the genuine you. So the question, how can I discover my genuine self, is the real spiritual quest. It is getting past all we believe about ourselves, all that we have accumulated about and how we constructed our I. Our spiritual goal is to discover our true self, which is our mind in perfect harmony with God mind. And in it's recorded in Matthew 5:48 that Jesus said, you therefore must be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here Jesus is referring, using the words good and perfect, to refer to remembering our true I. That's what he's saying. Since you may have been much perfect, you go, well, I can't be perfect. Well, no, you can't be perfect, but your true I is perfect. So if you can remember who you are, you immediately slip into the consciousness of perfection. Is that so? I can't make Butch better. Butch can't be more than Butch is. All right? Except when Pam tells me to sit in the corner and be quiet, all right? Okay, but if I can transcend this illusion that I have of who I think I am, then I wake up to the perfection of myself, my true self. So it's the same I Jesus was referring to when he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is a statement that comes from understanding that who you really are comes from the spiritual realm and not the physical realm. Remember, you are a spiritual being doing what? Having a human experience. And the bread of life is the word of truth that imparts new vitality into our mind and body. So when we seem to be lacking something in our lives, what we need is the bread of life. Boy, I need a new car. I need a new this. I need a new that. No, what you need is the bread of life, all right, which is the word of truth. It will, and when that word of truth comes into you, it will incite new vitality into your mind and body, giving you the faith, love, and wisdom that you need to forge ahead and implement the new ideas you are getting. You get it? So when you hear, you know, you send, this is what I need, God. And immediately God begins to impart. Remember, your prayer is answered even before you ask, all right? But it comes to you in a form of ideas. But a lot of times, if you're still operating in fear, these ideas are coming and you're going, oh, there's no way I can do that. You feel the experience, right? Okay? So it's, how do I get past that? How do I accept the true bread of life? So it's our mission in life to remember our natural mind, our natural state. And this is what Jesus is telling us. Be ye perfect, meaning become aware of your right mind. And you know the question, you know, you asked, we had that, you might ask your kids this sometime or your spouse or whoever, are you out of your mind, right? Well, next time somebody says that to you, say, yes, I am. But I'm working on remembering who I am in truth. That's the answer, all right? So spiritual study and worship is really not about learning anything new. It's about rediscovering and remembering who I really am. So that's all there is. Just remember, in all things, no matter what, choose God regardless of what seems to be, and have faith and know that you're being guided to the right and perfect outcome in whatever it is that you're going through. And so it is. Amen.